Got a lot going on. Quick Hits, 2 hours of fired up radio, so let's go on and get after it. My man Zach Volk producing the show in studio. Zach, how's your day going so far?
Good so far. How about yours, man?
That's all right, man. I've been a little under the weather.
Oh, okay.
This week, so I've kind of had a cold.
Oh, stay away from me then. I'm glad this glass is
here. Yeah, there's a glass in between it. Now, it might not be a cold. Here's the thing, and I just realized this today. So, today I went out, and I finally got a filter, an air filter, for my apartment.
Okay.
Now, I'd had one before, don't worry. But about a week ago, I took it out because I kind of smelled something. Like, it smelled like something was, like, a little burning.
Uh-oh.
And it might have been near my heater, so I was freaking out.
Okay.
And I took out the air heater because it looked a little burnt. It looked something weird, so I took it out, and I was like, all right. And then it got better, so it worked. Hopefully that was it. I don't know. Someone out there probably knows better than I do what it was. But then I just, you know, I went to go get one. I went to a store, and they didn't have the size I needed. I needed a 14 by 20, and everywhere I went, it had 14 by 24 and then 20 by 10 or 20 by 15. So I had to go. So I couldn't get one that night. So I kind of waited, and then today I kind of thought about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I still need an air filter. So I went out, got one, finally found, went to a different store, found one in the size I needed, put it in there. So I'm hoping it was just allergies. I don't know.
Okay. Well, either way, I want you to stay away from me just to make sure.
I can clearly stay away from you. That's no problem.
Okay.
That's not a problem for me.
Okay, good. Just making sure we're clear.
Now, the other thing I want to talk about getting into the show is that I believe I'm a hero. Not just to you, not just to me. But to Oklahoma City, Zach.
How's that?
Because I did something last week, and I got a problem solved by this week.
Oh,
Quick
yeah,
Hits with
yeah.
the Missile. They are checking out Quick Hits with the Missile, and people are listening to what I have to say. So last week I came in here, and I told you about the pothole right outside the street, where the only way when you get out, when you go to the Sports Animal Studio, there's only one way out. One road out, and there's a massive traffic jam. And by massive, I mean like 8 or 9 cars, but you might miss the light one time going through because they were doing construction, or they really just had a piece of the street blocked off because there's a pothole there. Well, Monday, they filled it in. Monday or Tuesday. Perfect. Got that done. The other thing I talked about, and I guess I got to get it up to the city of Oklahoma for getting this done quickly, is the giant bump that was on the road right by my place in the middle of my neighborhood. Last time they fixed it, they tried to do something at 7:30 in the morning, woke everyone up. This time, they waited till I was already at work to work on it, and they're getting it done. It looks like it's going to be finished today. There are people working on it when I left here. So both potholes, I got taken care of.
And not just that, but they knew when you were going to work and scheduled it around your schedule.
They did it.
That's brilliant.
They did it just for me. And that's how powerful Quick Hits with the Missile is. I fix it. I got this problem solved.
You're my hero.
That was a little weird. You ever seen that's from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Oh, okay.
You ever seen that movie?
I actually haven't.
I haven't either.
Oh, really? Because it's really popular. I haven't
right?
seen it.
That's a good clip. It's a good clip. I've seen like... Actually, you know what? I have seen it. Now that I think about it, I have seen it. Because that's the one where they end, where it's like all chaotic at the end and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, now that we all know that I've done my duty for the people out there, I got to talk about the Thunder and Paul George and his MVP candidacy. Because I think there's something that we're missing out on with his MVP candidacy and why it's going to hurt him. And this isn't, I'm not taking a shot at anyone else. I'm just saying, just think if you were in, say, Utah, Salt Lake City, or you were in Milwaukee, or even Washington, D.C., you're not a national writer, you got to kind of think about this. So last week, you listened to Toby's show when you got off?
Yeah, on the way home a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Talking Sports, Toby Howell comes on at 5 o'clock, right after Quick Hits with a Missile. He had a guest on, Joel Blank, who works in Houston, on another radio station in Houston. He used to do stuff for the Rockets. He used to work on their broadcast. And I think he played basketball in the past or something like that. Anyway. But Toby asked him an interesting question. And he said, you know, what do you think about Harden's MVP chances? And Joel kind of went around. He started talking about it. He's like, you know, you know, I mean, Westbrook up there, he has a shot at it. He's got the triple-double, and, you know, they love numbers. The people that vote for it love numbers, and they love to have a case, you know, a narrative for the MVP. And, you know, Toby kind of let him get away with it. I probably would have brought it up. I think he was right up against a break. I would have just said, Russell Westbrook, you mean Paul George. And that's kind of the thing that I think hurts Paul George's chances for MVP is that there are people that still think Westbrook's better than he is. Clearly. Anyone that's watched this team, you don't even have to watch all 57 games they play in so far. You can watch 12 of them. You know who the better player is. It's Paul George. Westbrook outplayed Paul George against the Pelicans. There's no doubt Paul George struggled in that game on Thursday. But George has been by far the better player. He has been leading the charge for this team. And you know what his odds are to win MVP? Where I saw, I think the highest that I saw it.
No, what is it?
9-1. 9-1. That might be worth it. Because the Rockets, if they fall apart in the second half, which I don't know if they will. They do have an easy schedule. He might be able to jump up there. And maybe if the Bucks don't get the one seed, he might be able to get up there. But here's the thing. Here's how MVP voters vote for things, Zach. And just think about it. Listen, next time you're in an argument for an award like the Heisman or the MVP, and remember what I said about the Heisman. Do you remember what I said about it, Zach?
You said it's a popularity contest, right?
I did say that, and I said it's a stupid award.
Oh, well, that's
true. The people that vote for it don't always pay attention to all the games. It's the same thing with the MVP award. These guys aren't out there crunching all the numbers. The majority of the guys just want to do it. What's the easiest way for me to get this done? What's the easiest way for me to vote? And the easiest way is to go by a narrative. Harden has the 30-plus point streak going on. It's at 30 games now, I think. 30 straight games with 30-plus points, which is impressive. It's impressive. And maybe Harden does deserve the MVP. But I'm telling you, he's going to win it because of that narrative, unless they fall apart. Paul George doesn't have anything to fall back on. He doesn't have it. I know someone's out there, well, he could be the defensive player of the year. Well, that's true. He might be. But a defensive player of the year doesn't win the MVP that often. And that's not a narrative that gets you to win an MVP award. So when you're up there and when you're thinking about I really think that the biggest threat to Paul George not winning the MVP is Russell Westbrook having the triple-double, because that's the narrative. And there are people that vote for these awards. Like I said, it's a popularity contest. It's a dumb award anyway. But they don't sit there and go by, oh, Paul George is the best player on his team. I got to vote for him. They're like, well, Russell Westbrook's better than him. Why would I vote for Paul George? There are people that are going to do it. And even though it's not true, even though Paul George is the better player, that's the way they vote. That's the way they vote. Now, I'm not ripping Russell Westbrook. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying anything negative about Russell Westbrook. I'm just telling you how voters kind of think. And this isn't one of those, well, Russell Westbrook shouldn't get a triple-double things. That's not true. Westbrook should fill up the stat sheet. He's the second best player on the team right now. Everyone thought he's better than Paul George coming in. And the Thunder need Westbrook to play well to be a good team. But Paul George has carried this Thunder team. The reason why the Thunder are the 3 seed, two reasons. Number one, Paul George has been an MVP candidate. Number two is that they're shooting a 3-ball, lights out. Lights out. What happened against the Pelicans? They didn't shoot the 3-ball very well. They did not shoot the 3-ball very well. And they lost that game. What happened the last month and a half before that? They shot the 3-ball really well. They started winning a bunch of games. They still won 12 of the last 14 games. They still got a good shot of that. I'm going to handicap the second half in the West and what I see from the Thunder in the 4 o'clock hour. But we do take phone calls on Quick Hits with a Missile. 460-9957 gets you in. Here's how we do it. I ask your name, where you're calling from, and our guest, Matthew McConaughey, welcomes you in.
All right.
And we get after it. So you're on the Sports Animal. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from, let's see, 69 Highway in Kansas.
All right.
Nice. What's your question today?
So, have you watched any of the Alliance League at all?
I have watched it. I watched 3 out of the 4 games last week. I watched the first half of the game this week.
What were your thoughts?
I thought it's really bad football right now. They have to quit punting, going and driving into opponent territory and punting. That's killing the game because the offenses just aren't good enough to go 90 yards every time. I mean, they just have to make them go for it on fourth down.
I was surprisingly a little impressed with the physicality.
There was just one big hit on the quarterback in the San Antonio game. But
just that hit. But I mean, I just was surprised. It was a little higher level than I thought. I don't know, from a spectator's view, it looked like it was. But I mean, you know, and I want to preface this by saying I'm a huge Thunder fan. But did you see where the ratings were higher than that big Thunder Houston game?
Yeah, I saw it. I think it's just because it was the opener. You know, this is a game, the games are being played, and I appreciate your phone call, but the games are being played on CBS Sports Network and NFL Network and a bunch of channels where no one's going to watch it. No one's going to be able to find it. And I really think the only reason it was higher rated than the Thunder game was because of, number one, it's the first weekend of the year, and number two, while OKC and Houston are big names, it's not necessarily like the Warriors Thunder or it's outside. I mean, I realize it's a big game here, that the Rockets Thunder is huge, means a lot here, means a lot in Houston. But to someone in New York or someone in Milwaukee, they're probably not as excited to watch it as they would be like, say, Warriors Lakers or Warriors Thunder. Something along those lines. They don't invite them. So that's the two reasons why the AAF was higher rated. But I mean, the league right now, if you're starting a new league, you better get some scoring in there. And they're not scoring. The halftime, you know what I don't even know what the score of the first half of this game was today. Did you even know? First of all, I don't think Zach knew there was a game today with the AAF.
No, I thought those were played later in the day.
No, there's one that already started. It's going on right now, probably. But okay. I can tell you the score is probably like 3-0 at halftime. It was 0-0 when I left and came up here.
It's probably something like that. You're probably right.
I mean, they don't score in the league. And if you're starting up a new league, and I talked about this on my podcast, where if you're starting up a new league, the way to compete is to get different rules and higher scoring. Now, I will say people do care about defense. They definitely care about defense. And I'll prove it to you because the All-Star game's coming up. And that game is horrible. And be prepared. I'm going to slander the All-Star game for 2 straight hours. It's a disaster. It's so boring to watch. It's horrible to watch. And I get it that there's people out there, they love to see it. But it's just an exhibition game. A bunch of guys aren't even trying. You know, they're just going to do 360s. No one's playing defense. And to show you that you're going to be more interested in a regular game than the All-Star game, I mean, watch the whole All-Star game. You're not going to be just, oh, wow, what's going to happen next? Oh, man, I hope they get a stop here. That doesn't happen. All that happens, they pull up, stop, and shoot a three. Or they drive down the lane, throw it against the backboard, do a slam dunk. There's no one trying to stop them. It's not as exciting when no one's trying to stop them. So that's the thing, though, with the AAF, is that they need more offense. They have way too much defense. A bunch of quarterbacks that just stink. I'm assuming they're awful at evaluating quarterbacks because Christian Hackenberg's a starter in that league. So what I would do if I was changing it, I don't think it's going to catch on, but what I would do if I was in charge of that league is once you cross the 50, you can't punt. That's what I would do. That's what I would do so that way teams get better starting field position. Either you make it and you keep going, or you miss it, and the other team starting at midfield rather than the 10-yard line. Because these offenses just aren't good enough.
Yeah, but then is it really football at that point?
Yes.
If you start changing
absolutely.
You start changing you have
to,
like that.
You have to do something to make it exciting, Zach. Are you watching the games?
I don't know if I'm going to watch spring league football regardless, really. I mean, I might. But if I knew there was a game going on right now, I might.
Football's way better than every sport.
I like football a lot. But with that being said, I don't know. I mean, when you start taking and making it this kind of weird sort of football but not really thing where it's like, oh, you have to go for it on fourth down here, even if it's fourth and 30, you know, it's like
going for it on fourth down is way more exciting, man. Isn't it?
I mean, yes.
Isn't it? It's way more intense than punting.
It's more
who cares
exciting,
about a punt?
But it's more exciting when it's not expected or when it's something that's out of the ordinary. You're like, oh, man, they're going to go for it? Not if it's like, oh, yeah, they're going to go for it because they have to.
Well, they have to at the other side of the field. It still makes it exciting because you either get it, you either have the ball, or the other team has the ball.
Yeah, but it's now, every time.
I will say to your point, though, the two-point conversion is not exciting at all in that league. I don't miss the extra points, but it's just not exciting. Like, it's like, oh, wow, they're going to go for two. It's something secret. So there is a little something to that. But I think when it's the difference between getting the ball and not getting the ball, I think it means more than getting a two-pointer, not getting a two-pointer.
Yeah, but there's going to be so many turnovers on fourth downs. So many. Because like you said, these offenses aren't good.
So what? They got to get scoring in the game, man. Can't have 13-0 every game. Can't have 15-6 games. No one's going to watch it.
Well, yeah, I think it's there's already a threat of that, isn't there?
they already have a problem with it. I do want to talk about, speaking of problems, the All-Star game, not only is it horrible, the All-Star break is also horrible. This is a week where there's nothing going on but the NBA, and the NBA says, screw it, we're not doing anything this week. Trade deadline has already happened. And you remember, they moved it up because of the Boogie Cousin thing. He was asked about it at All-Star break. I say move the All-Star, the trade deadline back to Thursday. If you want to give everyone a week off, move it back, move it to like Tuesday. So that way, you know, when you start the games on Thursday, which not everyone plays on Thursday, which is absurd. Thunder don't play till Friday after the All-Star break. Do you know that? It's ridiculous how long it is, but move the All-Star, they move the trade deadline to Tuesday, so they're still talking about your sport. Like, what are we going to say about the NBA for the next 4 days? Oh, the All-Star game was really great. No, because that'd be a complete lie. The All-Star game's going to be horrible because no one plays defense. Because you don't even have, like, even the East-West. The All-Star draft, I will say, that's awesome. Giannis Antetokounmpo was a great personality for that, and you got to make sure you have a good personality for the draft.
I mean, he's terrible at drafting, but yeah, a good personality.
Yeah, a good personality. I mean, well, he's like, oh, I'm going to take Chris Middleton. Well, of course. Yeah. Your teammate, but that doesn't mean anything.
He took, who did he take? I think he took, like, D'Angelo Russell or... No, he took Kyle Lowry over Bradley Beal with the last pick.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
I'm like, what? Whatever.
But the thing is, it's more fun. The draft is more fun than the game. Like, who cares? Are you in for Team LeBron or Team Giannis? I can't even tell. What is Westbrook and Paul George on Giannis' team?
Yeah, Westbrook and George are on Giannis' team. So they should get a decent amount of playing time, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, well, everyone gets a decent amount of playing time. It's the All-Star game. Switch off like every 5 minutes minutes.
I mean, you're right. But are they going to leave Kyle Lowry in or Russell Westbrook, you know? They're going to probably leave Westbrook in a little more. But yeah, I get what you mean.
But I mean, yeah, All-Star game's horrible. And the All-Star break is just, why do they need a week off? I think it's weak that the NBA gave in to these players like, well, I don't get time off because I had to go play in the All-Star game. Tough, don't be good at the game, LeBron. Stop being so good if you don't want to go. Fake an injury. Do what they do in baseball. If you're hurt, you don't go to the game. I mean, some of them do, I guess.
I mean,
you get a free trip to, I mean, Charlotte. But Charlotte's probably not a bad time.
It's probably okay. But I mean,
hold the All-Star game in Vegas every year. Free trip to Vegas. Hold it in Honolulu. Free trip to Hawaii.
I mean, I think the things that they don't want happening is like the Pro Bowl where people, where it's literally people who aren't even Pro Bowlers playing anymore, right? It's like if, you know, if Dennis Schroeder was an All-Star, you'd be like, he's good, but
he doesn't deserve it. I know they don't want it, but
so they don't want
gonna,
people dropping out.
The players aren't going to drop out. They get extra money for going out there. It's good for their brand to be seen out there because this game does, as bad as it is, it does get really good ratings. Like the dunk contest tonight is going to get great ratings.
Yeah.
You excited for the dunk contest?
Not excited. No. I mean, I think it's fun. I think it's a fun little thing, but it's not exciting.
I mean, come on. They got Hamidou Diallo in it. And I know he does a lot of moves in the pregame or whatever, but come on, man. Like, if Thunder fans had to rate their favorite player on the team, where would Diallo rank? We'd even get top 10. Would Diallo be top 10?
I mean, there's only, 13 players?
There's 13 players. Would he be top 10? It's a serious question.
I don't think so. Because I think people would like stories like Burton over him. You know, Burton's a nice story coming from the G League.
Yeah.
You know?
Diallo's a nice player. Yeah. I'm not saying Thunder fans hate him.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's not one of their top 10 favorite players, and he's in the dunk contest.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
If you're going to do a dunk contest, give me the stars.
Right.
Give me the dudes that dunk.
Well, there's certain exceptions. I mean, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, that was a fun year, and neither of those guys were stars. So, I mean, you can find guys that make it exciting that aren't stars, but it's so much harder on yourself when you do that.
Saying they weren't stars isn't completely factual. That was when LaVine was with the Timberwolves and Aaron Gordon was with the Magic. They were rookies that year.
Yeah, okay, that's
Aaron
fair.
Gordon dazzled. People kind of knew him. There was hype there. Dunk contest tonight. I mean, I couldn't tell you. Who else is in it besides y'all? Can you name one?
I don't think I can. I don't.
Is there anyone? Okay, in the NBA, out of all 30 teams, who would you be excited to see in the dunk contest? Giannis? Is Giannis in it? Giannis might be in it.
I don't think Giannis probably is in it. I'll pull up the roster here in a second.
It's kind of lost its luster with me.
Yeah, I mean, if there was somebody, I mean, I know I'm going to get ripped apart because this is the obvious answer, but LeBron would have been a fun one to see, maybe a little bit younger. That would have been a fun one. I mean, Westbrook, and you know, when he was maybe a little bit younger, because he's starting to lose a little bit of his hop now.
But yeah, you know, Westbrook doesn't dunk as much as he used to.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, there's guys that would make it fun. They have to be stars, though, right? It's when Kobe did it, you know, when Jordan was doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's when it was fun. Vince Carter, you know. Now it's like, you know, like you said, it's Hamidou Diallo. And I'm not saying that's not a knock on him. I'm sure he's got plenty of hops in him. But with that being said, I don't want to see Hamidou Diallo in the dunk contest. That's not fun for me.
I'm kind of with that, too. It's out there. They got 3-point shooting contest tonight. Maybe, I mean, I might watch a little bit.
That is stacked.
Yeah, with Dirk. I don't know. I'm still not all excited for that. Not excited too much for the All-Star break. If you are and you think that I'm way off my rocker here talking about how the All-Star game stinks, you can call in 460-9957. Next segment, though, I got to talk a little bit about our old buddy Kevin Durant. I know you people love him, but there's something he said today that I just can't let go. And I got to explain some more things. Quick Hits with a Missile next on Sports Animal. Did you get one?
I know,
man.
I have to get one. I'll get one. You know what? Here's my promise to you, Bob. Before next week, I'll get one.
Okay. I want to do that too. So you're done. This is your last show of the day you're producing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dang, man. I need to stay for Toby's show because I had another challenge that I was ready for to go on Toby's show.
Oh, boy. What's that?
I was going to say, every time you mention the Supersonics, you know, Toby's from Washington State, so he's a Seattle fan. Every time you mention the Supersonics moved here, you get a minute unfiltered talking time on Quick Hits.
Oh, man. Okay. I would actually be up with that one.
120 times? Mention 120 times you got a show next week. That's all you'd have to do. Too bad. Can't put it on the table.
I'll break in here to the producer studio and just say it real quick.
Yeah, well, you got to be producing it for it to work.
Oh, man.
You can't just overtake the show and start just saying the Supersonics moved from Seattle to OKC.
Can I call in?
Doesn't work. We'll have to come up with it. I'll have to come call in and say it. You might do that. Hey, I don't know. If he'll take your phone call, might as well. Might as well. Might not be a bad idea. Toby's going to be mad that I'm polluting his shell.
You are. You are. You do this every week, I think.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea. But we'll have to do something, come up with something like every week. On to another guy that's polluting the airwaves. No, not the missile. His name's Kevin Durant. Speaking of, you know, we were talking about the All-Star game. By the way, apparently the dunk contest is, I was told Toby told me this. Dennis Smith Jr., Hamidou Diallo, John Collins, and Miles Bridges, the dunk contest. I said, I can't believe those guys tonight are free. Unbelievable. Anyway, Kevin Durant said something dumb again today. He always does. He ruined one of the best ideas for a competition in the All-Star Game weekend, which was the horse event. Remember, they played it like twice. It's a long time ago. And Kevin Durant ruined it because all he did was shoot threes. Instead of doing, like, crazy shots, you know, that's what everyone thought. They're all excited. Oh, it's going to be all these crazy shots and stuff. No, Kevin Durant was just like, look, I'm going to take a three, and then if you don't make the three, I'll give you a letter. And it only lasted, like, 2 years, of course. So it's not going to happen again. So Kevin Durant today, you can always say something when you leave Oklahoma City. I don't think Kevin Durant did anything wrong, okay? I know that people get out there, they get mad at the missile, they get mad at anyone that says, well, Kevin Durant didn't do anything wrong, because he didn't. He was a free agent, he played out his contract in Oklahoma City without requesting a trade, like Anthony Davis is requesting a trade. Now, the Thunder were competitive, and though they didn't get anything future assets from him, but they did get a Western Conference final run by him staying here. But I'm a man of fairness. Zach, I am a man of fairness. If there's one thing you take away from the show, if you got to, whatever you're doing, if you're stopped at a red light and you just got to think about something, I am a man of fairness. Always remember that. I will not go way over the top. Because if you're sitting there saying, oh, you know, Kevin Durant, he just screwed over Oklahoma, it's all horrible, he's the worst person ever, then you're just being a homer. And if you do the other side, well, Kevin Durant, he can do whatever he wants, it doesn't matter. Actually, that side's more true. But there's one thing that Kevin Durant just doesn't quite get. Where it's like, he says something in this clip I'm about to play for you guys. He said something in there. You'll hear it because it's a short clip. Now, he's asked about coming back to Oklahoma City for Collison's jersey retirement, and he gave the whole, like, oh, you know, we're brother speech and blah, blah, blah. I didn't care about that. But I did care about what he says, and you're going to want to hear it, what he says right here, Zach. Go ahead. Let's hear what Kevin Durant had to say.
What people think or, you know, the reaction that they have, I can't control it. If they're still reacting to me after 3 years, then am I really the problem? So I just want to experience that, you know, and be there firsthand because I was there for those days that people really didn't see the work that, you know, the work that we all put in as a group.
You heard the highlight of that, and I'm sure everyone jumped up when they heard if you're a Thunder fan. You know what I'm talking about? He said, am I really the problem? It's been 3 years. Am I really the problem? And it's just another thing. Kevin Durant doesn't understand it. No, did he do anything wrong? No. Would him taking out a full-page ad help stop Oklahoma City from booing? No, it wouldn't. It didn't help Gordon Hayward. It wouldn't have helped Kevin Durant. It wouldn't have mattered if Kevin Durant went to the Warriors or not. If he would have went to Houston or he went to Boston, people would still boo him. They wouldn't cheer for him. People just kind of go, oh, well, no, it's because it's the Warriors. That's why I'm booing. No, you booed him because he left you.
I think
there's nothing wrong with that.
I think it amplifies it a little.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't care if it amplifies it or not.
I'm just saying, I think there's a little bit more outrage because of where he was.
There's only a certain amount of outrage you could have. No, I mean,
I'm
LeBron got all the same flack for going to Miami.
Well, because he also went and formed a super team. Yeah.
There you go. They're going to be mad. I mean, wherever Durant would have gone, it would have been a really good team. They would have booed him. But what Durant doesn't get was, well, it's been 3 years. How was that my problem? It's not, they're still not over it. How is that my problem? And that just tells me he doesn't understand what the NBA is. It's a form of entertainment. And it's like, you know, you were a piece of these people, these fans. They would spend their entertainment time watching Thunder basketball. Kevin Durant was a part of it, and he left. It's like if you have a girlfriend for, like, 6 years, she up and leaves one day. It doesn't matter that she got a better-looking guy than you. Chris better out. I'm not scared to admit it. They can always upgrade. It doesn't matter. You're still going to be hurt by it. You're not going to be happy with her. She could do everything right. I mean, I don't think the Thunder did anything right. You know, she could do everything right when she left you. It doesn't matter. You're still going to be mad. You're still going to feel jilted. And there's nothing wrong with that. And Kevin Durant saying that, I think, kind of makes this thing worse. Now, Durant is right in the part that he said, well, you know, I was a part of this for years, and it was a big deal, so I want to see Collison. He's right. He was a part of this. He's a part of Thunder history. He's the best player to ever wear a Thunder uniform. I'm sorry. I know people are talking about, oh, Paul George is better right now, or Westbrook's better right now. Kevin Durant was the best player in Thunder history. And he's not here anymore. That's okay. And it's a part of history where Durant led the team to the finals. He was the best player on that finals team. He led them to Western Conference finals multiple times. It's one of the best teams in the league when Kevin Durant was here. So yes, he has a right to be here. It's okay that he wants to come back. It's not like they're going to shine a spotlight on him and have him like front row and him cheering. They're not allowed to do that anyway. It's tampering. But he can be a part of the celebration. Nick Collison's going to have his jersey retired. Durant will be sitting on the court with Kendrick Perkins and whoever else is flying in. I don't know. Is Royal Ivy coming back? Scott Brooks coming back? I would assume Scott Brooks isn't going to be. But there's nothing wrong with Kevin Durant coming back for that. But also, Kevin needs to understand that you're going to get booed here every time you come here. It's not going to stop. It might not stop the rest of your career. It might not stop if you come out and say, hey, man, my favorite place to play is Oklahoma City. Like, if he goes to New York next year, I don't think he's going to go to the Knicks. Because, come on, man, good players don't go to bad teams. That doesn't happen. That does not happen.
LeBron went to the Lakers. That's a bad team.
LeBron can do whatever he wants. He's LeBron. All right, maybe he will. Maybe he will go to New York. I don't believe he's going to. If he goes to New York and 3 years in, he's asked about it, and, man, my favorite organization was to play for was the Thunder. I don't think the Thunder fans are still going to forgive him. They'll still boo him because he left them. Because this is a business. It's what the NBA is. And I just thought that Durant sitting there saying, well, am I really the problem? Yes, you are, Kevin. It's the things that you're saying. It's you not understanding that you left. You could say, hey, look, I moved on to a better situation. I'm sorry, I liked my time there. I enjoyed my time there. But I moved on to a better situation. You know, his people were attacking Westbrook. Oh, Westbrook didn't give out the ball. His people, Kevin made a fake Twitter account. You know, he talks about, oh, are people really that sensitive? It's like, dude, you're the one with like 5 Twitter accounts.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
So, in this split between Kevin Durant and Oklahoma City, I don't really think anyone's in the wrong. And I know Thunder fans get really angry when you say that, no, Kevin Durant didn't do anything wrong. Well, let's put out this scenario. I say this all the time. I said it when it happened. If Kevin Durant had said, hey, I'm not coming back in February, would Presti have even traded him right before the trade deadline? They were the 3 seed in the West. Now, it looked like Golden State had 73 wins that year. It looked like they were untouchable. It looked like San Antonio was untouchable. But you probably weren't getting enough back for Kevin Durant. And that move might have made you worse long-term. I say this all the time, and I say it about the Anthony Davis trade. It might make you worse long-term. Imagine if they had traded Kevin Durant at that point, got something long-term, then they couldn't make the Oladipo trade or something like that. They wouldn't have room to extend Westbrook and say they don't make the Paul George trade the next summer. They don't have the pieces for it or something. Goes on down the line. Maybe Westbrook doesn't come back because there's no, okay, yeah, we got a future here. Because remember, Westbrook re-signed because they had cap space because Durant left. He re-signed an extra year. Then they traded for Paul George. Westbrook told him he was coming back right after that. And he signed the Supermax. I think people forget that. And if Presti had traded Kevin Durant at the trade deadline the year before he left, then he should have been fired. And don't give me that, oh, well, he didn't have any time to think of a plan. What do you mean he didn't have time to think of a plan? He had a full year. There's not this, oh, yeah, we're only going to have a plan if Kevin Durant's here. Like, they have enough time to plan out what they're going to do if Kevin Durant was gone. And we saw it. And that was extend Westbrook and sign Abrines. That was it. That was the plan. It happened. And the one thing you miss out on, the whole argument, Kevin Durant didn't give us anything in the future. One thing I want to get you people to take away from this. If you're listening, put down what you're doing. Stop and think. If you're in the car, if you need to pull over to the side of the road and listen, that's perfectly fine. The one thing that you need to know about Kevin Durant, about them not getting anything in the future, is they would have lost a run to the Western Conference Finals. I know they lost the series in 7 games. They had a 3-1 lead on the Warriors. They did about as good as you could do without winning. They would have lost that had they traded Kevin Durant beforehand. So there was no reason for Durant to say, hey, I'm going to leave. And maybe he did.
That's a good point there about that. I'll take the other side of this. I'll play devil's advocate here. I think you're right when you say that he didn't do anything wrong specifically. Then, yeah, I mean, that's true. He has every right to leave in free agency and do what he did, and that's fine. I think there's still a little bit of truth to the fact that, I mean, maybe you would have at least given them, and who knows, maybe he did tell Presti, hey, I'm not signing, right? Maybe he did. We don't know. But, you know, if he didn't, then, yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit to the fact that he's like, hey, this is the best team other than the Warriors, and, I mean, even then, that's arguable. They were up 3-1, and he's like, if I leave here for nothing and go to the Warriors, then we are untouchable. We're going to the finals.
They were still untouchable. I mean, even if he told them beforehand, like after the trade deadline, what were they going to get? He's a free agent.
You know? I mean, who knows what they would have gotten? We don't know. I mean, we're talking about hypotheticals.
It's not like the Thunder didn't recruit players. Like, they tried to get Al Horford, remember? That was never happening because Kevin Durant would have had to sign a 5-year deal. It was never happening. So he didn't do anything wrong. But it's okay for Thunder fans to start booing him and hate Kevin Durant. You can hate Kevin Durant anywhere he goes after that. He left you. There's nothing wrong with that. I got no problem with that nationally. I mean, Indiana fans were booing Paul George. Paul George told the Pacers, hey, I'm not going to resign next year.
And they
didn't really demand a trade. And by the way, there's no difference what he did than what Anthony Davis did. It's the same thing.
I agree there. I would agree with that.
I can't stand that narrative. And the only reason why it's a narrative around here is because I'm a Thunder fan. That's it. That's the only reason. They did the same thing. There's nothing wrong with Paul George saying, hey, I'm not going to be here. Anthony Davis, now, he went more publicly. He said, oh, I want to join the Lakers. Oh, guess what Paul George did? Oh, did he not say, oh, I want to join the Lakers? I mean, he didn't join the Lakers? So it's the same thing that he did. I just want to get that out there because I know a lot of people will say, oh, no, it's not the same. It's different. No.
Yeah, no, no. It's, you're right. You're
it's
exactly right. Absolutely.
It's the same thing.
But at least they got Oladipo for him. That's,
people's
point.
They ended up doing well for
him. And guess
what?
They
ended up doing well.
And they probably should have beat LeBron last year in the playoffs. So, I mean.
Round one, they had their chances.
Yeah, absolutely.
They definitely had their chance. In that game seven, they had a shot to win it, too.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
I mean, they got something back for him. I think that's why Thunder fans feel so slighted by the Kevin Durant deal.
But, I mean, that's the thing. They don't make the run to the Western Conference Finals without him. Remember,
true.
The next year,
true.
When the Thunder traded for Victor Oladipo, they gave up Ibaka. Oladipo wasn't the Oladipo he is now.
Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't have made a run to the Western Conference Finals. They got knocked out in round one of the playoffs the year after that.
Probably, so, yeah.
This Thunder team's built well.
Yeah,
Presti's
yeah.
done a great job.
I don't think that Presti legitimately could have done a better job after the Kevin Durant thing leaving. After he left, I don't think there was a step that Presti probably couldn't have done that was better than what has happened now. Because they have done everything right. Now, some of it's luck. You know, Paul George has to agree to re-sign here and all those things. But with that being said, Presti's done his job well. Because this team should not be competing for this long.
He's done a great job. And they got, after this year, if the Warriors run it down like they should.
Yeah.
And they break up. Then the Thunder are right there being a title contender. The Thunder got Markieff Morris to sign with them. It shows that free agents will start looking at Oklahoma City. Now, they don't really have money to sign anyone. And I think they're too far over the cap to do a sign-and-trade by NBA rules. But they can get someone decent for the mid-level. You know, I'm not saying like Boogie Cousins, like with the Warriors. I predicted that was going to happen before it happened. I said a couple days before because no one was giving Boogie the money he wanted. He wanted $20 million. So he said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go win a ring. The Thunder on that list, if a player says that, if he's not getting the money he wants, and it might not necessarily be Boogie Cousins type, but it might be someone else. They're on that list. They can use their mid-level for that. So that's a good thing. Presti's done a great job. He's done a great job for that.
Do you think somebody's going to pay Boogie what he wants now? You know, let's say they go and win and he looks okay. You know, he looks fine. He looks healthy enough. Like,
I don't know.
Is somebody going to pay him, man?
I don't know what he's going to get paid next year. He'll make some money. I don't know if he's going to get $20 million.
You know, maybe the Warriors will pay him. Because if those guys leave...
They might want to keep him. Next segment, Quick Hits with the Missile continues. I'm the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman. I'm going to talk a little football, but we're gonna start off. We're going to get the phone calls rolling. They're already lighting up. People want to talk Kevin Durant, Thunder, second half, all that other stuff. So if you want to get in, hurry up now because we got a one line open, 460-9957. It's Quick Hits with the Missile, the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Next segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Thunder and kind of why they've been playing so well and what the difference is and how they can keep it up in the second half of the season. It's next hour, this segment, I'm going to start getting to the phones, 460-9957. Call in, you can talk, you can tell me why I'm crazy about Kevin Durant or why Paul George definitely is the MVP candidate. Nothing's going to hurt him. But this segment, I got to talk a little bit about the college hoops. The OU basketball team finally got a win today. They still stink. They've stunk it up. But the thing is, they're not outside the tournament right now. Like, they're in. And this TCU win helps them even more. I think one of the things that we do in sports, it's one of these, too many people do this, is that we get caught up in a little bubble. Like, all we're watching here in Oklahoma is watching Oklahoma, and then we're watching Oklahoma State, who lost to Texas today, who, I mean, they're just not very good this year. That's all there is to say about Oklahoma State. But I'm talking OU because they're doing the same thing they did last year where they fell apart, and it was, oh, they're out. And then they got in, and they weren't even one of the last four teams in. But one of the things we're forgetting about OU, why they're in the tournament, is because it's not just OU that's stinking it up. There's like 20 other teams around them that are seeded, you know, 10th or worse, or that are on the outside looking in, that are also doing the same thing where they're losing just about every game they play, or they go on a huge losing streak, or they did terrible in the non-conference. And the whole season matters. And OU's schedule isn't all that great, but, you know, I don't want to pick on my guy Matt Meyer before this. He does a great job before me leading up to the show, but I heard him say that he thought OU was out and they haven't done enough just because they've been losing their games. And I looked at the bracketologies on ESPN and CBS, and they both had OU as one of the last four in. Now, if OU gets out, that doesn't mean OU's definitely in, but it means like they're more likely than not in the tournament. But the thing is, they've hurt themselves enough to where they're out, but they did such a good job early in the year that they're in, and there's other teams around the country not doing any good. And you can bring up, well, they're 4-9 in conference. Well, so what? What are they? Are they 4-9? I think they're 4-9. So what? The committee doesn't care about your conference record. OU got in last year at 8-10. Baylor didn't sniff the tournament. They were 8-10 in Big 12 play. Texas got like an 8 seed. OU was like a 10 seed last year, 11 seed last year. They were all 8-10 in the conference. They don't go by where you finish in the conference. Your conference record's fairly irrelevant. Now they look at who you beat, who you didn't beat, and your conference, the teams in conference will make a play on that. But they don't care about your conference record. And for both OU and OSU, next year is a disappointing season. If Lon Kruger doesn't make the tournament, I don't think he's out. They made the Final Four a few years ago. Last year turned out to be a disaster. 2 years ago, they were awful. Didn't make the tournament. But he's done a fairly good job in his tenure as the Oklahoma Sooners coach. So I think he's got another year left, even if they miss out on the tournament. The thing is, OU, if they want to get in the tournament, they need to at least get past the first weekend this time of Big 12 play. Or the first, the play-in games, the Big 12 play. And they need to beat one of the good teams remaining on their schedule, which is basically Texas Tech. I think that's all they got left. Iowa State. Which I don't think is going to happen, but they get them at Lloyd Noble next Saturday, I believe. They also got Kansas at home. They're not winning at Kansas State. They might be able to beat Texas at home. They're probably not going to win. They got at Iowa State. I'm sorry about that. On Monday, the 25th, a week from Monday. They're probably not going to win that game either. So OU, I think that they still do have a shot at the tournament. Maybe if they go 3-2 here, you know, win their home games. Upset against Kansas look good. Beat West Virginia at home. West Virginia is terrible. It's going to look like a horrible loss if you lose at home. And you lose to Kansas State, Iowa State, no shame in that. You beat Oklahoma State or whoever you play the first game, the play-in game, then I think they're in the tournament. They're going to get in. I argued about this all last year when we were doing the bracketology. I said, the bracketologists have them in. I'm going to say they're in. People were like, oh, no, OU hasn't done enough. They're all around here. OU's not good enough to get in. And that might be true. They're not really that good. But I'm going to go with what the bracketologists say. And the bracketologists say OU is in right now.
Seems
now,
a little different this year, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, they don't have Trae Young.
They don't have the star power.
They don't have Trae Young. I know a lot of people said, oh, the Trae Young thing. It's Trae Young. I don't think that makes a difference. Because might see the same exact thing.
You might be right.
As we did last year.
If so, then you are absolutely 100% correct. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. We'll have to see, but I don't think that's going to be the case this year.
We'll see. I think OU is going to get in. I mean, if they go 1-4 in their last five games, they're not. I mean, they're on the edge of the bubble. They can play themselves out.
They can.
Now, I want to say this about Oklahoma State. They lost again today. Dezagwa. He had a great game today. 7 threes. That was impressive. Look, I know they're fighting and they're playing hard, but I don't care if you play hard. Win the damn games. You know, and Oklahoma State fans, I guess it's better to see them play hard than them not to play hard and just get smoked. But they don't want a team that just plays hard. They want a team that wins. That's what brings people to the stadium. That's why no one's going to the Lloyd Noble Center. That's why no one's going to Gallagher-Iba right now. Because those teams aren't winning. You look at the Lloyd Noble Center. People were, early in the year, OU's 11-1. They're ranked whatever in the country. No one's going to the games. Why would they? No one believed in that team. They didn't really believe in that team. They didn't believe the team was that good. 11 and we're good. Now, they didn't think the team was this bad. But, you know, it's all about expectations going into the season. If they're expected to be really well, they'll sell really well. If they're not, they're not going to sell well. That's what attendance is.
Right. And even to that, I think you also need somebody who is selling the tickets as far as, like, you know, Trae Young last year, people are like, oh, this guy's going to be NBA ready. And absolutely he was, right? He went top five. So, I mean, that it was a talent of that level sells tickets. Even if this team was good, even if they were still kind of on a tear, I'm not sure that they would sell as well as they would think they would because nobody's really exciting on this team.
That's kind of the thing. They're just not an exciting team. I know a lot of people, they like to point to the star power, which I think is what you're kind of getting at. But winning brings out fans.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
More so than star power. Like, they win and then they become stars, not the other way around. But getting back to Oklahoma State, Boynton's going to get another year, as he should. He was inherited a bad spot where Oklahoma State dropped off a lot, and they kind of got – they did a lot better than anyone expected last year. And this year, they're not even close to a tournament team. They're not going to make the NIT, the CBI, whatever it is, the CIB, too, I think is another one. They're not doing that. But next year is going to be a big year for both Lon Kruger and Mike Boynton. Because Boynton's bringing in, like, I think they're the 11th-ranked class recruiting. OU's got, like, the 10th-ranked class. They got all these kinds of recruits. They don't bring it next year. That's going to be their last year at either school. They got to bring it.
You think so?
They got to bring it.
Man, I don't see Lon getting fired, to be honest.
If Lon doesn't make the tournament this year, and they don't make it again next year,
you might be
I mean,
right.
OU basketball's in a bad spot. They're trying to build a new arena.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. But
you got to convince them. If they're not winning year after year, right. They're not going to build the arena.
But I think it's a little bit harder at a school, especially like OU, where it is just such a heavily football school, to have a successful basketball program. And I think it's been, widely anyway, historically, a pretty good basketball program with
Kelvin
Kruger.
Kelvin Sampson did it. OU is one of the best programs, it's probably the best program in the country basketball-wise that hasn't won an NCAA a title.
Right, you might be right about that. That's probably
Kelvin Sampson was able to do it for years. Billy Tubbs did it.
Yeah, no, they've had decent coach. And it's I think Lon's as right
much. I mean, Lon's done. He's had a couple great years.
Yeah.
Jeff Capel took one of these teams to the Elite Eight with Blake Griffin.
Right, I do remember
that's the thing. But yeah. Oklahoma State next year is when they got to get it. I mean, you can only be like, oh, well, they play so hard for so long. You can only do that. You can only care for so long about them playing hard. I don't care if they play hard next year. I want them to win. If they don't play hard and they win, I'd rather see that than a team that keeps on losing. It's 9-16 and getting smoked in every Big 12 game.
Yep, you're right.
You don't want to see that if you're an Oklahoma State basketball fan. No one does. No one does. If you're mad about either basketball program, call in 460-9957. Talk Thunder, second half of the season, whatever you want to talk about. Starting next segment, nothing but phone calls. Fill up the phones. I don't accept open lines. It's Quick Hits with a Missile and Latvian Missile. Josh Kopelman on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.